Good morning.
Hope that everyone's having an amazing day today. This is a little hot now. Man, Kevin always steals my introductions. I always like to share about the day, share about the week. It's fun stuff. Sundays in this environment invigorate me, not because we've been in a house and it's all about the building. We know that. The church is about God's people meeting together, but I love setting things down. Or setting things up, tearing things down, all that fun stuff. The sun's gonna kill me here. I'm gonna back up then. Boom, perfect. I'm a little farther away now, but that's okay. I love it. This day is gonna be cool. We've got sermon, a little bit different than usual. Then we've got food afterwards. Like Kevin said, trash pickup. Maybe some people from the Little League will join us. The people that help run the president and stuff may join us, help us pick up some trash. If not, cool. Just loving our community in that way. Today we're going to preach the Sermon on the Mount. The whole thing. Chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7. And you may say, John, you guys spent 3 sermons going through Jesus' temptations. Why are you now going through 3 chapters in a day? Well, that's why we brought food. We're sitting down for like 6 hours and diving. No. About two series ago, we actually went through the Sermon on the Mount, and after going through all of that, we said, hey, did Sermon on the Mount, and it was called the Sermon Series, and we went back, we did another Sermon Series, can't remember what it was, and then we said, hey, we're just going to jump back to the beginning of Matthew, continue on from there. I think it was just a Christmas series.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, we did a lot since then.
It feels like it was yesterday, but... So if anything is read in this sermon and you're like, I wonder what they mean by don't throw your pearls to swine dogs or anything, the sermon's online, I promise. And if it's not, reach out to me and I can get you that audio, but it all should be online underneath the sermon series.
What's the website, John?
citylightmass.com/sermons, maybe. It'll get you there. Title of the sermon today is God, Our Firm Foundation. Very simple. And I feel like I don't even have to preach after all the songs we just had, but we're going to continue on anyway. A majority of our time today will be actually just reading through the text. I'm going to read every single word. It's about 111 verses or so. And because we're doing that, I reached out to some people saying, hey, if you have an ESV, bring it. If not, we have ESV Bibles up here. We also will have the words on the screen. If it's easier, you may need to shift over to the right side to be able to see them all, so you can follow along there. The reason why I say that, and I typically preach from the CSV, but the ESV is probably the most common translation in our church, and we have 10 copies of them. But because I know how often I'll like be reading through it. Someone will be reading through a passage, I'll be looking at a different translation, and their passage, like, they start with what my verse finishes with. So I'm like, wait, did I lose them? Am I lost? And I'm like, wait, where are they? And then I hear something that looks familiar. And I'm like, oh, wait, they're down here. Oh, wait, but now they're there. And it's just, you get lost, very easily lost. So I figured everyone on the same translation will make things as seamless as possible. So if you want a copy, just let me know. I even pre-open them to Matthew chapter 5. We've got copies there. You can raise your hand, let me know, or just come grab one either way. Another title of my sermon series today could be based on a fun show when I was growing up. Show came out in 2004 called Ned's Declassified School Survival Guide. Some people may know it, some people may not. Basically, this followed... No, not yet, Ruben, not yet. I don't even know if the audio is going to work on this. Steven told me audio plays from this thing, but if not, it's fine. Basically, Ned and his friends, they go through a lot of angst. Actually, just play, Ruben. Let's see. Oh, I can hear it at all. Oh, he says, give me a high five. She slaps him. Or give me some skin. And she slaps him in the face. Just a little promo. Not very good without the audio. Ruben, you can go to the next slide. That's fine. But basically, they go through, and Ned, he's in middle school or high school, and they just kind of share with kids how to go through these different things in school. They talk about when you're picking project partners, how to handle situations in the bathroom. Maybe someone's giving someone a swirly, or like just bathroom etiquette maybe. I don't remember exactly everything. They talk about sick days, how to fake sick days, how to handle your sick days well. If you have a crush, how do you handle that situation? They talk about wood shop, which isn't in most schools anymore. We're talking about 2004. I feel like that was even fading then. Talk about, hey, if you're embarrassed, how do you handle a bad hair day? How do you handle popularity? All these different things. They talk about these real life applications for a kid. And there was actually a call for Ned, I remember during the beginning of the pandemic when everyone was going insane, like, hey, I'm 30 and I've been through a housing crisis, a pandemic, and all these other things. And now like a housing spike, like, I need Ned to tell me how to live my life now. I need a Ned's Declassified Life Survival Guide. Well, if I was preaching this sermon series in 2004 to a group of kids, I may title this sermon series, Jesus Declassified Earth Survival Guide. The Sermon on the Mount kind of gives us a scope of some how-tos in life. And I feel like in order to most effectively, as we're going through, I think Jesus includes this section right here at the end. But if I had a critique to Jesus or to Matthew who wrote this, I would say, hey, maybe put this on the front end as well. Obviously, I'm flawed compared to them. But I do want to start off by reading this just because this gives us a framework to kind of filter everything we're going to hear through. We're going to read a lot of scripture, and then he kind of gives us caveat at the end. So I just want us to start here. The text says this in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27 says this. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like the foolish man, and does not do them, sorry, will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat against the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now, oh, that's why that's like that. Sorry, I was confused by my notes. So we're going to start there. We're jumping right in. Reuben, you can go to the next slide. Like I said, follow along with the slides. I need to take a drink of water. Hopefully I won't need more. Let's do it. Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. I'll try to give caveats of where we are, just in case you're looking at your Bible and you get lost, but let's do this. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain. And when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown down and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a blanket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. And in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to the Father who is in heaven. Verse 17. Sorry. Oh, so sorry. I don't know what I did. Exit. Oh, come on. Sorry, I clicked on something on my screen and it disappeared. Verse 17. Oh, man, what is going on here? I knew I should have. I'm pulling out the Bible. Amen. It's a little too small for me to read right here, but we'll do it. Verse 17, here we go, back at it. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come to abolish them, but to fulfill. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass away from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be to the hell of fire. So if you are offering a gift at the altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accusers while you are going with them to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and then you will be put in prison. Truly, I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better to lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the grounds of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord. You shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say simply yes or no. Anything more comes from evil. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the evil one, or do not resist who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him take your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go with them 1 mile, go with them two. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. Verse 43 in chapter 5. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Chapter 6. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward for your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, Do not be like the hypocrites, for they stand and they pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows your needs before you ask them. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debtors, as we have forgiven our debtors. Forgive our debts, sorry, as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others of their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp to the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, or what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. For it is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more of value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies on the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the fields, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows what you need. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Chapter 7. Judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck in your brother's eye and do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, hey, let me take the speck out of your eye when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take out the log in your own eye and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is holy and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they be trampled them underfoot and turn to attack you. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. Of which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then are who are evil, know how to give a good gift to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Verse 12. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law of the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy for those that leads to destruction. And those that enter by it are many. But the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to the life of those who find it. And those who find it are few. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased trees bear bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But the one who does the will of the Father in heaven. Sorry, I'm starting over on verse 21. Jesus probably did this same thing. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name or cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Verse 24. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like the wise man who built his house on the rock. When the rain fell and the floods came and the wind blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell and the floods came and the wind blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And when Jesus finished these things, the crowds were astonished at his teachings, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. One moment. That was actually perfect. I did one flip and it took me right to where I needed to be. At one point I was flipping through the Bible and I needed to go to the next page, and I swiped my finger up across the page as if it was just going to scroll up for me. Word of God, it's beautiful. We talked about this the other week in our series with angels, our sermon on angels. I shared about how me and Kevin went to a little men's breakfast and he was reading through scripture. And as he was reading it without really explaining anything or going into any detail, the Lord was just like moving in my heart and revealing sin and consoling me in those moments. And I hope you had some of that in the midst of reading those three chapters of scripture. Spent a lot of time there. The sermon breaks down that Jesus gives breaks down into a couple of sections. Reuben, that's all the slides, by the way. I didn't do any more. Breaks down into a couple of sections. It's mostly a set of commands of things to do. He starts off with the blessed are these, the blessed are this, the mourn, he goes into all these different categories. And after the blessings, he addresses a lot of the law. And as Kevin talks about last week, it's actually interesting how sometimes the New Testament gives us further clarification of how to interpret the Old Testament. And Jesus does that. He goes through all of his, you have heard this said, but I tell you this. Or he stretches people beyond where they originally thought that they were going. From there, he talks about public actions versus righteousness done in secret. People who proclaim and do all these things on the side rather than just do things to be seen and known by the Lord and to be loved by the Lord. They want their reward publicly. He then transitions into some social issues on how to treat people. And he ends with two responses someone could have to Jesus. The Lord, Lord response of look at all these things I've done for you, and the someone that's actually followed God. He talks about ravenous wolves who are wolves in sheep clothing and all those kind of things to be wary of. So cool. It's a lot of information. And I guarantee you that in these next like 10 minutes, I'm not going to satisfy every single thought or go into every nook and cranny that I could. We're going to be very broad, 5,000 foot view of what we can take away today. What do we do? What now? How does this impact us? What's this mean? Well, a lot of what Jesus is talking about here is a lot of action. It's a lot of, hey, do this. Hey, you need to be doing this. You must apply this. It's calling us to action, not to sedentariness. In 5:15, he says, a light put under a basket. Or don't put a light under a basket. Let it shine. That's an action. He says, when you're offering a gift, if you have an issue with a brother, go and fix that. He says, hey, love your enemies. And caveat, loving your enemies is not saying, I'm just going to keep my distance from my enemies and just be civil because we don't see each other. Loving your enemies is an active thing. God so loved the world, people who were completely against him and opposed to him, that he took action. He sent his son to die on the cross for our sins. He was active. There are some people that believe God took a hands-off approach, that he built and created the earth, and then he just said, let it go. I'm just gonna sit back and watch like I'm at the AMC IMAX theaters. But in the best definition, far beyond we can ever perceive, he was active. And then Jesus says, hey, I want you to pray like this, fast like this, handle your possessions in this manner. Don't gather them up on earth, but store them away in heaven. Check the log in your own eye before going to your brother. Ask, seek, knock, bear fruit. In 7:24, he says, who hears the words and does them will build their house upon the rock. So it matters. Doing stuff matters. And it's easy today. It's so easy today. We're eating as a family, as a church. We're following what God wants for us. We're meeting. We're following that. We're going to share a meal together. We're hopefully going to lift and encourage one other than we're going to serve our community. We may meet some members of our community. We're loving our community. And maybe we'll see some people that don't like us. We've discovered recently that we may have some enemies. And we're going to love them regardless. We get to do that. It's easy today. It's easy on a Sunday. It's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, where it gets more difficult, where we really have to ask those questions. But are my actions the most important thing? Why do I do these things? Well, the passage, this whole section sets us up for failure. There have been religious people all throughout society that have loved the Sermon on the Mount as a list of moral platitudes. I don't know if platitudes is the right word. It's just a cool word. A list of moral things to do, good ways to live by. If you're a good person, you probably do most of these things, or you try to. And you could probably do your best to do all of these things. We may think of, Teresa. No, not
Mother Teresa
or Gandhi. We may say these people probably exhibited these things so well. But Jesus sets us up for failure in a couple ways. And he's also a little confusing. At one point in his passage alone, Jesus says, hey, let your light shine so that people may see your good works, that they may know who you are, that you're a Christian. And then he says, hey, don't do things so that you're seen by everybody. I want you to do these things in secret. Well, what the heck, Jesus? Well, it would ruin the Sermon on the Mount if he's sitting there giving caveats and correcting himself here there. This is also, the Sermon on the Mount is probably not, was not just these three chapters and he departed. Many people assume that this is just Matthew kind of crunching down what was said. But he also sets us up in a different way. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, we can do all the other things. We really can. Someone could probably say, I've done all these things. I'm not sinning in any way. Even though in John, he said, and I think it's 1 John, he says, if you follow the law perfectly, you're a liar, therefore you're sinning. Jesus says this in 5:48. You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. There's not just these things in these first few chapters to do. There's so many different areas where we can slip up, where we can fall, where we can miss the mark. And this forces us to take a look at Jesus. We can look at this list and say, I can do all these things. And then we read that line or maybe realize, I'm not meeting the mark perfectly. I'm not doing all these things to excellence. So we look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. He followed all of these standards and many more to perfection. And a caveat to the whole diagram between letting your light shine and doing things in secret. We cannot help sometimes when we're doing things for God, what gets seen by others. However, we can help our heart motives of what we're doing in those moments. We're going to pick up trash. Are you okay if you're just like in the woods or on a side street where no one's going to see you? Or are you like, I got to be the guy that's up front? Or even, do you want to be in the woods because you're with a lot of Christians and they'll say, wow, that guy doesn't care about being seen by other people. So he's doing this so that they think highly of him. It's all about your heart's intent. All of this leads us to look to Jesus. He was completely without sin. He was the spotless lamb so that he could be offered and a way could be made through Jesus for salvation. And when we come to do these things, we do not do them in order to obtain the love of God. We're not working. We're not praying and fasting. We're not creating some hypothetical or some realistic prayer closet so we can say, I prayed in secret. Look at me, Lord. I'm doing all these things. I'm fasting. I'm loving my neighbor who, I don't know, hit my car or tips my trash can over or whatever that gets under your skin. I'm doing so good, Lord. Will you just love me? He loves you not based on your ability to follow these commandments, but rather when he looks at you, he sees the perfection of his son. If you know Jesus, he looks at you. If you know God, he looks at you and sees you as the perfect, spotless. He sees you perfectly and spotlessly because of what Christ said. He sees Christ's work in you. But that doesn't mean we just let it flow. We just let grace abound or let sin abound so that grace may abound more. We do these things. We do these things in this section 5 from 7, not to obtain love, but because we are loved. We end up doing these things out of an outpouring of love that we have for God. And as a Christian, no matter how, this passage is also beautiful because as a Christian, no matter where you are, you could say, hey, I've been saved for 30 minutes or I've been saved for 25 years. You can look at this passage and say, man, there are areas where I really fall short of the Lord, where I'm not following him in the way in which he would desire for me to follow him. I'm pulling out the good old every moment holy. We're going to do a little prayer through this. I'm going to read a little section. It may end up being an early lunch. Sorry. I actually don't want that down here yet. There often is this temptation, this feeling. As human beings, we want to strive and do so good. It would make life so much. Days like today are really good for me. Because I feel, at the end of a day like today where I do so much good, I finish the day and feel like there's this little well done, good and faithful servant moment where I get this little taste of heaven where I don't feel like I've really done all that much bad, at least in these moments. But we can feel that. We have this feeling of failure, but we don't have to feel that way. I'm going to read this section. More reading, of course. Maybe just listen, think through. We'll go from there. It says this, Christian. This is a Christian saying this, I believe. Or maybe it's a person named Christian. It's probably a Christian. I come to you, O Christ, in dismay, fearing I may fail in what is now before me. And it says, fellow believer. Ah, Christian. If you would truly serve your Maker in whatever capacity or vocation, it is not necessary for your own good and for the good of the kingdom of God that you would sometimes be met with such a fear and dismay. It's okay. We're going to be met with fear and dismay. Doesn't mean it's right. We should not fear failure. But then it says this. But how could such a besetting fear ever be for my good
or for the good of God's eternal kingdom? The response to that is this. Under the Spirit's tutelage, such fears might become messengers of grace, revealing to you only what is true all along. In yourself, you cannot have the strength or the wisdom or the ability to accomplish the task to which you are called. Apart from the Spirit of God breathing life into your incomplete and sin-tainted efforts, apart from your Father's blessings and multiplying your inadequate offerings, apart from the Lord meeting you in your stumbling attempts at faithfulness, no good work will come to fruition. No achievement will endure. No lasting benefit will come of your labors. And so you must come repeatedly to the end of trust in your own self, child, that you might avail yourself again and again of his strength. Continues, but I'll stop there. We can strive to do all these things, but it's impossible for us to do these things in our own strength, in our own ability, and we need the Lord's assistance. We need the Holy Spirit to come alongside us and walk us through and give us the strength to fight sin, to fight temptation, to do these things, and know ultimately at the end of the day, we need the Holy Spirit to come alongside us and comfort us and lead us to himself, lead us in repentance. We're going to spend some time here just praying. We read a lot of scripture today. We did a little 5,000-foot view. You may have some things racing through your heads, areas in your own life where you just need to kind of talk to the Lord. Maybe the Lord revealed some sin. Maybe he revealed a brother that you have, a brother or sister, that there's some issues or conflict with that you need to go address after this. I just want to spend some time in quiet prayer, and then I will close us after we've had a good amount of time. Thank you.